Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. They searched through heaven and found a Savior to save a poor lost soul like me. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail scarred, his side was riven. He gave his life blood for even me. He left the Father with all his riches, with calmness sweet and serene, came down from heaven and gave his life blood to make the vilest sinner clean. Death's chilly waters I'll soon be crossing, but his hand will lead me safe. I'll join the chorus in that great city and sing up there forevermore. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail scarred,
man. Thank you, Brother Green. You know, were you trying to help him to get up to those high notes? I was trying to help him get up there. So, I like these songs. I know that song, and I know how that high part, you kind of got to stand on your tiptoes a little bit, you know, to kind of get up there. And appreciate Brother Green and the work on the song. I hope that you're happy to be in church this morning. Could be your last service. Let me start over. Wait. We got to start over. I said it could be your last service. Okay? This may be it. This may be what you have to face God with this morning. It's what you did for Him in this service today. So listen, we can't waste any time. We can't waste this opportunity that we have to come and worship this morning. So I hope that you've prepared yourself. I hope your heart's open, your spirit's open, and you're ready to worship God this morning and receive what God has for us from the Word of God. Judges chapter 13, if you would. Judges chapter number 13. Now, if you're visiting with us, we've dedicated the month of April as family month, and the teaching and preaching throughout the month has been on the home, different aspects of the home. And I have chosen for our text verse, Judges chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. As our text verses, we're going to, you're not going to need to go anywhere else. You just need to stay right there. And we're going to spend the whole time this morning dissecting these verses and taking a look at a particular family that I want to take a look at here this morning. Would you stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God? Judges chapter 13. And if you'll follow along silently as I read aloud, beginning in verse number 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not, couldn't have any children. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. He said, Things are about to change. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For, lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon or cone his head, and for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. Very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. And he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Look at verse number 24 of the same chapter. And the woman, the same woman the angel of the Lord appeared to and gave instructions. She was barren. He said, Things are about to change. And here's what happened, verse 24. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. Now, we're going to analyze some verses here, both out of these next few verses and next few chapters. But if you read in Judges chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16, basically four chapters, you have the whole life of Samson, his family, basically in a nutshell, in four chapters of the book of Judges. When we look at this family here in just a moment, you're going to say, boy, this home was not a perfect home. Amen. And neither is yours. You see, what I want to speak to you today is, this morning, was on this subject, a perfect God in an imperfect home. A perfect God in an imperfect home. You say, preacher, is there such thing as a perfect home? No, because we're part of it. And since there is no perfect home, then you know what? There can only be one perfect God that can enter into an imperfect home and put all the pieces back together like it needs to be. And when we look at this family this morning, you'll see a family that had trials and troubles and tribulations in their home, but a perfect God entered in. And did you notice the scripture said she called his name Samuel, and the Lord blessed him. And the Lord blessed him. So I want to speak to you this morning about a perfect God in an imperfect home. Father, we ask now, meet with us and open our heart and our spirit to what you have for us. Father, my great desire this morning is to stir the heart of the people that are under the sound of my voice, that we might go back into our homes, Lord, and take a look, examine what's there so that we might be the best that we can possibly be as a husband, a wife, and children, leadership in the home. And Father, that today we might commit to invite the perfect God into our imperfect home. So please have your way now, and we'll certainly give all the glory and praise for what you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. In every family, mistakes are going to be made. Bad decisions will be made. Wrong choices will be made. Trials will come. And by the way, let me stop and say there that a lot of times the trials that we face in our home and our family are self-inflicted. Many of the problems we have in our home, we bring them on ourselves by choices and by decisions that we make. Now let me stop and say this here. The thing about it is we bring on the problems, self-inflicted problems, And instead of blaming ourselves, we blame God. Amen. I said we blame God for problems we brought upon ourselves. So our homes, because we're imperfect, there's going to be mistakes made. There's going to be bad decisions made, wrong choices made. Trials are going to come into our home through self-inflicted means. And may I also say here that sometimes we're going to face trials by outside influences that are beyond our control. You see, sometimes situations are going to happen in your home that are caused by other people and circumstances beyond your control. And all of a sudden, your family is thrown into a crisis situation. Hey, by the way, just recently we saw tornadoes come through our area. You think people can control that? No, but you know what? I visited a family yesterday whose entire home and family was thrown into an immediate crisis because the tornado came through and messed their house up. You see, things are going to happen. Situations are going to come in your family. And may I say to you today that homes are upside down today simply because we imperfect people, all right? We imperfect husbands and wives and children are trying to resolve all the issues that we face in our homes and all the trials that we face. We're trying to resolve them through imperfect methods. You know why? Because we're imperfect people, so guess what we look for? Imperfect methods. And then we try to solve all these problems through imperfect methods. We try to solve all these problems through imperfect ideas that we got from somebody else or we got from Dr. Duflunky, who wrote a book and we read it and we just figured since he's got a PhD beside his name, he must know what's right. Come on, help me out now. Huh? Just because we think a guy's got a degree by his name, all of a sudden he's smarter than anybody, including God. Now, what I'm saying is we take imperfect methods and imperfect ideas, listen to me, and unproven philosophies, and we try to institute them in our homes to resolve our marriage problems, our child-rearing problems, our financial problems. And you know what we found out? We spend years trying to do that, and we look back, and we've wasted 10 years, and we're no better off today than we were 10 years ago. You know why? Because of imperfect methods and imperfect ideas and unproven philosophies. You see, this is why marriages are not lasting for a lifetime. And that's the way God designed them, but that's not happening in our day today. Kids are bailing out. Teenagers are bailing out of their homes at a very young age, at 14 and 15 years old. You see, this is not the family that God designed. His desire is for your home and my home to have joy and excitement. But what's happened because of these imperfect methods and ideas and unproven philosophies, listen to me, what we've done is we've tied a weight around our confused, our disillusioned, and frustrated ankle today. And what happens is people come to church with a ball and chain around their ankle because of these unproven methods and philosophies that we're trying to institute in an imperfect home. And folks, last time I checked, God created the family. And He was a perfect God, and He wanted our family to turn out the way that it ought to turn out, and yet we have set Him on the side and put Him on the back burner in our homes, and we're trying all these other ideas and philosophies. Listen, let me ask you this. How's that getting? What's that doing for you? Where are you today? You say, preacher, are you against good books? Of course not. I'm not against good men and good books. But listen, folks, if our home is going to be what God designed it to be, we're going to have to invite the perfect God into our imperfect home. The problem is, listen, we sit here and gripe that He's been kicked out of the public schools and kicked out of the political arena. Listen, for most people here today, God's been kicked out of your house. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to resolve all these problems. I hear often they say, preacher, I thought family was supposed to be happy. It is. When you got the perfect God involved, it will be a happy home. I hear people say, preacher, I thought family was supposed to be loving and fun. It can be when the perfect God is involved in the imperfect home. People say, I thought marriage of Christians, it was supposed to last. Preacher, it will if the perfect God is inside the imperfect home. You say, man, I thought raising kids was supposed to be a blessing. It is. If the perfect God is involved in the imperfect home. You see, we've used so many imperfect methods and imperfect ideas and unproven philosophies for so long that we think, well, there must not be any other options. I'm telling you, my friend, there are other options here. And that is the invitation of our perfect God to come into your imperfect home and into my imperfect home. You see, sometimes I think our pride keeps us attached to these imperfect philosophies in hopes that somewhere down the road, and I've heard this 100 times just like you have, you know what, preacher, my luck's going to change any moment now. You hear me? Preacher, my luck's going to change. I can feel it. It's going to change any moment. Well, let me tell you, say something right here. If you're basing the foundation of your home on luck, you got problems. Hey, listen, I'm not trying to build the foundation of my home on luck, my friend. I'm trying to build the foundation of my home on the principles of God. And if the perfect God's not involved in an imperfect home, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. The family that I introduced you to this morning is the family of Samson. Now listen, most of you don't even know Manoah, his father, and the Bible didn't even give us his mother's name. He just calls her the woman. So we're not really introduced in any intricate way with Manoah and his wife, but boy, are we ever introduced to a guy named Samson, though. Now, you're talking about a home that had some issues. You're talking about a home that had some problems. We're going to look at some today, but I want you to listen very carefully to me this morning. Even though this home had some problems, I want you to look in verse number 3, because the initial problem was, initially, Manoah's wife couldn't even have children. She was barren. She could not bear to her husband any children whatsoever. And so they had just resigned themselves to the fact this way is going to be. Now, let me say something to you this morning. If you're a woman here this morning, and you're barren, and you say, preacher, you know, the doctor's already told me I can't have any children. Well, let me tell you something. There's a God in heaven that can open the womb. I said, there's a God in heaven that can open the womb. I've seen Him do it many times in the Scripture. I've seen Him do it among the people of God. You see, what I'm saying to you this morning is this family, listen now, they experienced the grace of God. This family experienced the grace of God. Look at verse number 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not. Now, he confirmed the situation, right? He confirmed she couldn't have any children. But thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now, listen, the only thing she had to go on was a word from God. That's all she had to go on. Because she had been barren all of her life. All she had to go on was what this angel of the Lord said. You see, this family experienced the grace of God. Has your family experienced the grace of God lately? You see, if it hasn't experienced the grace of God, maybe you're not in the position to experience the grace of God. Listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. There was no personal merit involved in them to deserve this grace. What did they do? Huh? What did they do to deserve the grace of God? You say, well, maybe it was because of the tribe that they were born in. Have you ever gone back and read the history of the Danites? Now, it wasn't the tribe they were born in. You say, well, what made them, preacher, what made them accessible to the grace of God? Well, I'm here to tell you today that God and the grace of God is extended to anyone, because the word in the Scripture, let me put it in New Testament terms, whosoever. Whosoever. You see, there was no personal merit involved for them to deserve this grace. The Lord came to them. Hey, listen, when I got saved, I wasn't looking for Him, but He came looking for me. Hey, you know what? I wasn't looking for grace. He brought grace to me. Do you realize that Manoah and his wife had already determined that she was barren and that she could not bear children, and that's the way they had just decided this is the way it's going to be? Listen, you're here this morning. If you're without Christ, you may have decided before you ever came here, you know what? This is just the way I am. This is just the way it's going to be. I'm here to tell you there's a God in heaven that's willing to extend grace to you just like He extended to this family. You see, Manoah and his family, hey, he didn't know the grace of God was coming. It came to him. You see, they didn't seem to be looking for it. God came looking for them. Listen now. And He changed Mrs. Manoah's barren womb. Now, let's stop and make an application here. The Lord was the only one who could change the barren womb to a fruitful womb. You hear me? Now, He's also the only one that can change your sinful condition into a righteous condition. He's the only one that can forgive sins and save the soul. He's the only one that can secure you and birth you into the family of God this morning. Hey, I'm just telling you, the family of God, this family experienced the grace of God. If you're here this morning without Christ, listen, the greatest experience that you can have is to experience the grace of salvation in Jesus Christ. Hey, they didn't go looking for it. God came looking for them. And you know what? He put you in this church this morning because He's looking for some of you. He put you here so that you can hear the truth and the gospel of salvation through Christ. You came this morning, you thought you were just going to come and maybe meet a few friends and have a good time this morning. And I'm not against that, but you know what God's looking for? He's looking for salvation of the soul. That's what He's looking for this morning. Hey, the number one answer to an imperfect home is the perfect salvation of a perfect God. How can your home be what God wants it to be if you're out of the will of God when it comes to salvation? If you're lost without Christ? Hey, listen, salvation brings fruit and dispels barrenness. And here God was the only one that could change Manoah's wife's barren womb into a fruitful womb. And may I say, that perfect God is the same God today that can transform your home and your soul this morning. He said, preacher, how do I do it? What's the secret? No secret to it. All you got to do is come this morning and want to. Do you want to change or not? How's it going? You've done it your way for all these years. How's it going for you? How's it working out for you? You say, I'm miserable. Well, let me ask you this. If I could convince you from the Scripture that this morning, that this family that we're looking at ended up in a situation that was miserable, but yet the Lord blessed them and came to them and provided for them. After you look at the condition of this home, listen, I promise you, most of you this morning, your home's not in this condition that this one's in. Not in the condition. I'm here to tell you this morning, the only reason your family is where it is today is by the grace of God. Hey, if not for the grace of God, your family could have been one of those involved in that tsunami a year or so ago. Hey, if not for the grace of God, your family could have been in some tragic situation. Let me tell you something. You better get up every morning and thank God that you weren't in the wrong place at the wrong time that day. Because there's a lot of people that end up in the wrong place at the wrong time. And their life is snuffed out because of it. You see, I'm just saying they experience a grace through the grace of God. Let me notice something else here about this family of Samson. I want you to notice here, if you would, in Judges chapter 13 and verse number 4, it says, now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine. He's talking to Mrs. Manoah. And drink not wine, a strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. The second thing I notice is not only did they experience the grace of God, but listen to me, they had to meet some requirements of dedication. Did you hear me? Now, if she would have stepped out and said, you know what, are you nuts? Man, I love wine. Are you crazy, man? I love this and I love that. As a matter of fact, I'm telling my husband he's going to make some pork chops tonight. I love pork chops. And she said, I'm going to have me a glass of wine, and I'm going to have me oh, by the way, that wine's called the fruit of the vine. That's unfermented. Did you notice he separated wine from strong drink? Amen. Just thought I'd throw that in there. But what he's saying, he said, I don't want you to drink anything of the fruit of the vine. Now, she could have denied that. You know what? She'd still been childless. Now, you listen to me, mamas and daddies, pay attention. Here's what we want. We want to give birth and bring these kids in the world. We want God to raise them for us. Let me go one better. No. We want the church to raise them for us. We want the Christian school to raise them for us. Amen! The thing about it is, you know what? You know whose responsibility it is to raise them kids? Yours. That's your responsibility. Now, listen, the church can aid, the Christian school can aid, and people can help, but ultimately it's your responsibility. Hey, did you notice that Manoah and his wife, particularly his wife here, had to meet some requirements of dedication? There was some personal, parental dedication. No wine, no strong drink, no unclean thing. Now, let me stop and say this here. You know what we need today in our homes? We need parents, not buddies. We bought into this secular idea that, you know what? We can't be a parent to our kids. We need to be their buddy. The problem is, you know where the buddy system's got us today? In the condition that we're in. You know what the you know what kids need today? They need parents. They need somebody that's going to set boundaries. They need somebody to say, no, you're not going to do that. Amen. And then when they throw a fit, you say, you know what? Now you will never do that. You say, well, preacher, you're going to, if that's what we have to do, we're going to warp their personality. Well, have you looked around lately? Come on, help me now. Are you warp their personality? That's a joke. Listen, the thing about it is, the reason that most people, their personalities warp now is because we're not fulfilling what the Bible says we're supposed to be doing. Hey, Manoah's wife had to make some requirements. There were some requirements of dedication. We need parents, not buddies. Hey, we need parents, not taxi services. Kids come in today, Mama, I got this. I need to be there at this time. And listen, and what we do is, mamas are rearranging their schedule. Daddies are having to take off work in order to be taxi services for the kids. Folks, listen. I know some of you look like a calf at a new gate. This guy's nuts. Now the thing about it is, listen, we've become so abnormal, when you hear normal, we don't even know the difference. See, the thing about it here at this family, God says, listen, if I'm going to open the womb, and if I'm getting involved in this home, here's some dedication that's going to have to take place. No wine, no strong drink, no unclean thing. There you go. You want a child or not? Yes, I do. She did it. Boom, Samson's born. You know what? God can do the same thing for your home, but you know what it's going to require? Some dedication. It's going to require some dedication on the parts of the parents. Oh, wait a minute now. He's not done. Look at verse number 5. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Wait a minute now. There's not only personal parental dedication, there is the dedication of children. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. You ever hear people say, well, this is my son, and this is my daughter, and these are my kids? Listen, I understand what you're saying, but listen, and I've said it too. I understand they're mine temporarily. But ultimately, they were given to us as parents as a gift from God Almighty. And you know what we're to do? We're to dedicate them back to Him, acknowledging that they are His. Now, what I'm saying to you is, the parents had to meet some requirements of dedication, and the children had to meet some requirements of dedication. So they experienced the grace of God. There was some dedication that had to go on. Listen now, here's the third thing I noticed here. They sought God's will and not their own. Go over, if you would, to verse number 13. Hey, by the way, Mr. and Mrs. Manoah, they never raised any kids before. She was barren. All of a sudden, angel Lord shows up, says, do this. You'll have a son. So she does. She has a kid. The thing about it is, man, we didn't know we was going to have a child. So all of a sudden, they've got this little boy named Samson. And I want you to look at verse number 8 and listen to what daddy does. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us. Wait a minute. Listen. What is he doing here? It almost sounds like he's inviting the perfect God. Come on, help me out. Is that what he's doing? He's inviting the perfect God into their imperfect home. He said, come again unto us. Oh, listen to this now. And do what? Teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. You know why? Because he didn't have a clue. You know, we got parents in this room this morning with small children. You're thinking, oh, I ain't got a clue. Invite the perfect God in. And let him teach you from the book. Listen, they sought the will, they sought God's will, not their own. Skip down to verse number 12. And Manoah said, now, let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? He needed help. He needed instruction. Why? Imperfect people. He didn't know how to raise the boy. He didn't know how. Now everything had changed. It was just him and his wife. Now let me make a couple of comments about this. First of all, a happy home is a healthy home. And I don't mean eating healthy, but that's not bad either. Hey, have you been noticing there's less of me these days? You know, I used to be a full gospel preacher. You say, what are you doing, preacher? Just cutting back on that stuff's not good for you. You say, why are you doing that? I just want to at least fulfill my days that the Scripture says in the Bible. At least 70. Hey, if I cut back on a little bit of sugar, maybe God will give me 70. Amen. That's free. Hey, I said a happy home is a healthy home. Think about Manoah and his wife. They never parented a child before. All they had ever known was life, just the two of them. That's all they ever knew. They didn't know. So the first thing they did is said, Oh Lord, come again unto us. He was inviting the perfect God into that imperfect situation. Hey, they knew they needed help and guidance to succeed. I wish we had more of our people that have the membership here in Trinity Baptist Church. I wish they'd show up more than just on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Now, I'm not saying that and accusing them that they've got it all figured out, but the problem is, you know what? When God shows up, they're going to miss it. When God shows up to meet with them about an issue in their home, they're going to miss out on it. And that's the disheartening thing. But a happy home is a healthy home. Think about this. A happy home is a humble home. I want you to notice, if you would, go down to verse 14. Remember Manoah's praying and asking God, what are we going to do with the child? Well, then he goes out. The angel of the Lord appears unto his wife again. Now listen to this. Once he goes out, finds the angel of the Lord in verse 13, in verse 15, or verse 14, the angel of the Lord says, she may not eat anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. That's three times that phrase has been mentioned in 14 verses. Three times. I think God's pretty serious about that portion, right? Three times it's been mentioned. But notice what he says to Manoah. All that I commanded who? Her, let her observe. He says, now listen, Daddy. He said, I've commanded, Mama wants to do this, you let her do it. Now wait a minute, it doesn't mean that we let each other in our homes and marriages and people do whatever they want to. But what he's saying here, listen, what he's commanded him, this is right, this is of God. He said, let her do it, let her observe it, and he did. Manoah eventually offered a sacrifice to the Lord, thanksgiving unto God. See, God, Manoah feared God. Because after this, they saw the angel of the Lord. And you go down to verse number 22. Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we've seen God. You know what this showed me? This was a very humble man. He knew, boy, if we came in the presence of God, we're done. We're done. Manoah knew that he had nothing to do with opening the womb. You know who opened the womb? God did. He didn't have anything. I said a happy home's a healthy home. A happy home's a humble home. Think about this. A happy home is an honest home. Now, he makes the statement, we've seen God, we're going to die. Now listen to what Miss Manoah says. Look at it. Verse 23. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. And neither would he have shown us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. Wife speaks up. You know, I got my picture Mr. Manoah doing. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Good point, wife. You know, wives can make some good points. You better listen up, guys. She made a good point. She said, why would God have done all this and then kill us? Why would he say he's going to open our womb and then kill us? And Mr. Manoah said, well, yeah, I guess I didn't think about that. You see, a happy home is an honest home. You know what Miss Manoah did? She brought everything into perspective. She brought everything into clear perspective, and now Daddy saw it and thought, Yeah, God is on our side. Now, think about this. They experienced the grace of God. There were some requirements of dedication. They sought God's will, not their own. Here's the last thing. I've got to be brief, and that's this. They didn't turn their back on God when things didn't turn out the way they hoped. You hear me? They didn't turn their back on God when things didn't go the way they hoped they would. Anybody in here as a family had dreams that got blown up? Go ahead, shake it. It's okay. Hey, we're all us. Hey, we are. Everybody's still imperfect, right? Nobody got perfection while I've been preaching, have you? All right, so everybody's still imperfect. So you know what we can all do?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? I think that Manoah and his wife thought, you know, God gave them a son. God opened her womb. Samson was born. They probably cooed and carry on with that little boy and thought, man, this is a gift from God. We're blessed beyond all measure. We're privileged. God has visited us with a son. And I'm sure that they set dreams and maybe even set goals for him in his life, things to accomplish. I'm sure that they had already planned it all out that, boy, God's blessed us. He's going to use this boy in a great way. And by the way, he did, but he also used that boy to cause a lot of problems in their home. You hear me? God did use him, but he also caused a lot of problems for his home. You say, well, preacher, like, what kind of problems? Well, first of all, Samson married outside his faith. You hear me? Now, I'm going to just throw something out there. I'm going to move on because it's going to be hard to digest for some. But you know, one of the things as a pastor I deal with in marriage counseling as much as anything, Dr. Reed mentioned finances. Finances are one of them. Folly is one of them. But listen to me, marrying outside the faith is one of them. You listen very carefully. In verse 1 of chapter 14, and Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And you know what he did? He went back to his father and he told his father, and listen, by this time he's a grown man. Now, I don't know if mom and dad kind of saw the signs when he was a teenager, if they saw maybe he was getting out of line or maybe he rebelled a little bit. I don't know what they saw. But with his attitude, I'm not sure he went and said, Father, I met this cute little girl down in Timnath. And would it be okay if we got engaged and married? No, you know what it is? Here's the way I listen to me. You when you tell the story, you tell it like you want to. All right? But with his attitude right now, I don't think that's what he said. You know what I think he did? I think he did what some kids today said. Hey, listen, old man. He said, listen, I met this girl down here, and that's the one I want to wife. He said, but listen, aren't there many other women among our own people? He said, go get her for me. I didn't ask you, old man, whether or not what your opinion was. Go get her. I doubt very seriously he sat down and counseled with his father. Something happened between chapter 13, verse 25, and chapter 14, and verse 1. Because now he had cast his eyes toward a woman outside the faith. You say, what does that mean, preacher? That means unsaved people shouldn't, or saved people shouldn't be marrying unsaved people. I said saved people shouldn't be marrying unsaved people. And then let me say something else. Even if they are saved, you better make sure that you marry within the same faith so you believe the same thing. Amen. Hey, you just take it for what it's worth. I'm just telling you, you come sit in my office and listen sometimes. And some of the biggest issues that are dealt with is because people marry outside the faith and they're at odds with each other, not over love, not over intimacy. Not, you know what they're at odds at? Because she doesn't believe something in the Bible that he believes. And then he believes something she doesn't believe. And you know what they're doing? Boom, 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 over doctrinal issues. Samson married outside the faith. Hey, it's a big sore spot in the home. And you know what it is? It caused problems for his home. Let me tell you something else he did. Samson resisted parental counsel and authority. He disregarded his parents' wisdom. He disregarded his parents' wishes. Listen, and he disregarded his parents' welfare. Listen, what do you think how this appeared on his parents when he decided, you know what, I'm not marrying a Jew, I'm marrying a Philistine. And by the way, when you go read that story, go check me out. That thing blew up. Why? Because he married outside the faith. She didn't believe. And by the way, when push come to shove, listen to me, who did she side with? She sided with the people that believed like she did. That's who she sided with. Remember the riddle? Huh? Remember that? He says, hey, I'm going to cast a riddle out here. And listen, they plowed with her and plowed it. And guess who she gave into? She gave into them because they said, listen, you tell us what that riddle is or we'll burn you, your father, and everything you have. She gave in. Listen, when push comes to shove, you know what the partner's going to give into? What they believe. So you better marry inside the faith. See, Samson resisted parental counsel. That's the reason teenagers, single adults, your parents, whether you believe it or not, they've got more sense than you got. Particularly if you've never been married and they have, they've got more sense than you have on the issue. But Samson resisted parental counsel authority, caused problems. Let me give you something else he did. Samson became violent and revengeful. Now listen, we don't have time to go there, but you know, remember when he got angry? Remember he caught foxes, I think it was 300, tied their tails together, set it on fire, and then set it out into the Philistines' cornfields and burnt their cornfields up? They went, "Bless God, who did this?" They said, "Well, the daddy and the daughter wouldn't let him have his way, and so really they're responsible." You know what? You know what their own people did? They went and killed the dad and the daughter and burnt them. And here it is. He's sitting up on a hillside. They come to him and said, "Listen, Samson, we came to capture you and tie you up and give you over to the Philistines." And they said, "Why are you doing this?" He said, "I did unto them what they did unto me." Revengeful. He had become revengeful. He had become violent. He set their cornfields on fire. He defied everyone that didn't allow him his way. When he didn't get his way, he defied them. He was responsible, listen, for the death of that Timnite wife and his father, which probably ended up dying and going to hell because they were outside the faith. Samson violated his Nazirite oath. We don't have time to go through all of these. But he violated his Nazirite oath, his commitment to Christ, commitment to the Lord. Hey, he married a heathen woman. He had an immoral relationship with a harlot and ended up revealing his strength to Delilah. He violated everything. Then Samson was cast in prison. His eyes were poked out. And next thing we do, we find him in chapter 16 grinding at the mill like an animal. No eyes, poked out, no strength, no power with God anymore, all because of decisions. And then it ultimately ended where Samson took his own life. Now let me stop. You say, what's the conclusion of this? You know how a home like this can get out of whack real quick? You know how, listen, you want a home like Samson's? Huh? Kids, you want to disgrace your parents? You want to spit in their face? That's what Samson did. You want to disgrace the heritage of your parents that brought you up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? You can. Just don't have the perfect God involved in your imperfect life and imperfect family. Now listen, you say, "Preacher, can you repent and get right?" Yeah, because here's the conclusion. Let me take you now to thousands of Philistines now. They're all drunk. You know what they're yelling? "Bring Samson that he may make sport for us, because our God has delivered him into our hands." Now listen, I don't know about you. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. They figured out that the strength was in his hair. And go check me out. The Bible says his hair began to grow. Okay, wait a minute. Now, if his strength was in his hair, and you're going to let his hair grow out, you ain't got no sense. So they bring Samson. They put him in between the two pillars of the temple. Now listen, he could have said, "God, I can't believe you let this happen to me. I lost my eyes. I can't believe you gave me the parents that you gave me. I despise you, Lord." And you know what the Lord had probably done? "Okay, I'll just let them make fun of you till the day you die." But he didn't. The little lad, he said, "Hey, buddy." He said, "Can you take my hands? Let me feel the pillars." He put his hands on those pillars. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but basically what he said was this: "Lord, would you give me one more chance? Lord, would you give me one more chance to bring respect and integrity back to my family, my life?" And listen, the scripture says, and the Lord heard him. And that day, no eyes, humiliated his parents, a dreadful life. He pushed those pillars down. And the scripture says he killed more in the days of his death than he did his entire lifetime. You say, can God redeem our home? Absolutely. Because you ain't going to get much worse than Samson was. He was an adulterer, a whoremonger, a liar, disrespectful to parents. You know what he should have done? He should have died and gone to hell. You say, well, that's probably where he is. No, he's not. Because when you go to Hebrews chapter 11, guess whose name shows up in the hall of faith? Samson's. He's rotten to the core, man. You say, man, I wasn't that bad. Guess what? That means you got a chance in. See, some of you, you know where you are today? You're between the two pillars. And you think, you know what? I ain't got no hope. You know, everybody's laughing. Everybody thinks I'm an idiot. I've blown it. I've made bad decisions. My kids don't even love us. Let me tell you something. Put your hands on the pillars and cry out to God this morning. Say, Lord God, would you do it again? Do it one more time for me, God. And he did. And you know what? You'd be amazed at what will happen if you'll invite the perfect God into the imperfect home. Would you bow your heads this morning? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking around. How many can say this morning, preacher, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, I've been born again, no question about it. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. I'm not ashamed of it. I'll give testimony of it right now. I'm not ashamed. I'm a Christian. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, my prayer simply this morning is to have your way in this invitation. I've gone much longer, Lord, than I anticipated, but I do ask that Spirit of God move today in the hearts of people. Convict, I pray, in the hearts of people. If there are people here under the sound of my voice that know not the saving grace of Christ, that have never had the blood of Jesus applied to the doorpost of their life, I pray, Lord God, that today would be that day. Please, use this invitation time to draw people to yourself. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's looking. I wonder if there might be a few people here this morning. They would say, preacher, if I died today, I can't honestly say that I'd go to heaven. If I died today, preacher, I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity. It's not that I don't want to be saved. It's not that I don't want to go to heaven, preacher. It's just that I don't know. I just don't know. And you'd say, preacher, would you please pray for me? Nobody's looking but me. And you'd say, that's me. I want you to slip your hand up and you can slip it right back down and say, that's me, preacher. Slip it up. Just say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. It's not that I don't want to, preacher. It's just that I don't know. Just slip it up way up high. Say, that's me. Please pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Just slip it up. Slip it up. Anybody like that? Just slip it up, and I'll see it, and you can slip it right back down. All right? God bless you. All right, how many are here this morning and say, preacher, I've already been saved. I've never been baptized, though, after I got saved. I know it's what the Bible says. I know it's the right thing to do. Would you pray for me? I've already been saved. Never been baptized. Why don't you slip your hand way up high? Say, that's me. Just slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. God bless you and you and you. All right? Who will join these three? All right? You can slip your hand down and say, preacher, I've already been saved. Never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do. Pray for me. All right? God bless you. God bless you. All right? You can put your hands down. Anybody will join these four? All right? God bless you. You can put your hand down. All right, here's five. Anybody will join these five? Say, preacher, pray for me. Been saved. Never been baptized. Pray for me. All right? Maybe you're here this morning then, and you'd say, preacher, my home's not what it needs to be. Maybe you've put the perfect God on the back burner of your imperfect home. Maybe you've looked at unproven philosophies. Maybe you've used imperfect ideas or imperfect methods. You say, preacher, I've got to cast all those out of my home. I've got to get back. I've got to invite the perfect God. I've got to invite him back into my imperfect home that he might do the work in my home that needs to be done. You say, preacher, that's me. Nobody's looking but me. I'm going to pray for you. Slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, my prayer is that you would have your way in this invitation time. Those that need to be saved, I pray that they would come. Those that need to be baptized, there were four or five that raised their hands, I pray that today would be the day that they'd come to obey you in believer's baptism. Some, Lord, their home is not in the situation that it needs to be. But today, Lord, I plead that mamas and daddies would come and be right with God, that they would extend their hands out one more time and find the pillars of the temple and there cry out to a holy God and there cry out for your power one more time, that you may be able to make right your wrongs. And then I ask you, Lord God, that you would have your way in those that need to come. Maybe there's marriages today that need to be rekindled and love rekindled. Maybe there are children that need to get right with parents today. Whatever the case may be, fill, Lord God, this altar this morning with people coming in the heart and spirit of repentance. And we'll certainly give you the glory in Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed, eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix if he'll begin to sing. Listen, this is your opportunity. Why would you come to church? Raise your hand, say, preacher, my home is in this condition. The perfect God has been put on the back burner, preacher. I need to make it right. Why would you come to church and leave not putting him in the right place? Would you come? Hey, it doesn't matter whether you're a single adult, single parent, Whether there's a mom and dad and five kids or no, doesn't matter. This is your opportunity. If you're here this morning, you say, "Preacher, I need to be saved." You come. There's nothing more important than your soul. Nothing more important than your soul. You come. You come. You come. Maybe you're visiting with us this morning. God's moving you to come and be a part of this church. You come. We'll show you how to take care of that bit of business. Come on. We're going to keep singing. We're going to keep singing. As long as people come, we'll sing. When people stop coming, we'll stop.